Chapter 36. Misdirections. The Aiel broke camp early and were away from Ruidian, while the not-yet-risen sun still sharply silhouetted the far mountains. In three parties they wound around Cheyender, down onto rough flats broken by hills and tall stone spires and flat-topped buttes, gray and brown, and every hue between, some streaked with long swirls in shades of red and ochre. Occasionally, a great natural arch loomed as they moved north and west, or strange, huge slabs of rock balanced improbably, forever on the brink of falling. Every way Rand looked, jagged mountains reared in the distance. All the wreckage of the breaking of the world seemed gathered here in the place called the Aiel Waste. Where the hard ground was not cracked clay, yellow or brown or something between, it was stony and stark, and everywhere split by dry gullies and hollows. The scattered vegetation was sparse and low, thorny bushes and leafless things with spines. The few blossoms, white or red or yellow, were startling in their isolation. Occasionally, stretches of tough grass covered the ground, and rarely there was a stunted tree, also likely to have thorns or spines. Compared to Cheyender and the Valley of Ruidian, it almost looked lush. The air was so clear, the land so barren, it seemed Rand could see for miles and miles. That air was no less dry, though, the heat no less relentless. With the sun a lump of molten gold high in a cloudless sky, Rand had wrapped a shufa around his head in an effort to keep the sun off, and drank from the water bag on Jiaden's saddle frequently. Oddly, wearing his coat seemed to help. He did not sweat any less, but his shirt stayed damp beneath the red wool, cooling him somewhat. Matt used a strip of cloth to tie a large white kerchief atop his head, like some odd cap that hung down the back of his neck, and he kept shading his eyes against the glare. He carried the raven-marked sword spear like a lance, the butt tucked into his stirrup. 400 or so Jindo comprised their party. Rand and Matt rode at the front alongside Ruark and Hyrn. The Aiel walked, of course, their tents and some of the booty from Tyr on pack mules and horses. A number of the Jindo maidens fanned ahead as scouts, and stone dogs trailed behind as a rear guard, with the main column hedged by watchful eyes, ready spears, and bows with arrows nocked. Supposedly the peace of Ruidian extended until those who had gone to Cheyender returned to their own holds. But as Ruark explained to Rand, mistakes had been known to happen, and apologies and blood price did not bring the dead out of their graves. Ruark seemed to think a mistake especially likely this time, certainly in part because of the Shido party. The lands of the Shido clan lay beyond those of the Jindos Tardad, in the same direction from Cheyender, and they paralleled the Jindo some quarter of a mile distant. According to Ruark, Culloden should have waited another day for his brother to return. That Rand had seen Muradin after he had plucked out his own eyes made no difference. 10 days was the time allotted. To leave sooner was to abandon whoever had entered Ruidian. Yet Culloden had set the Shido to folding their tents as soon as he saw the Jindo pack animals being loaded. The Shido moved along now with their own scouts and rear guard, seemingly ignoring the Jindo, but the space between never widened much beyond 300 paces. It was usual to have witnesses, from perhaps half a dozen of the larger septs, when a man sought the marking of a clan chief, and Culloden's people outnumbered the Jindo by at least 2-1. Rand suspected that the third party, halfway between Shido and Tardad, was the reason the interval did not narrow suddenly and violently. The wise ones walked just like all the other Aiel, including those strange white-robed men and women Ruark called Gaishain, who led their pack horses. Not servants, exactly, but Rand was unsure he really understood Ruark's explanation about honor and obligation and captives. Hyrn had been even more confusing, as though making an effort to explain why water was wet. Moraine, Egwene, and Lan rode with the Wise Ones, or at least the two women did. The warder had his warhorse a little off on the side of the Shido, watching them as closely as he did the rugged landscape. Sometimes Moraine or Egwene or both got down to walk a while, talking with the Wise Ones. Rand would have given his last penny to hear what they said. They looked in his direction often, quick glances that he was doubtless not supposed to notice. For some reason, Egwene was wearing her hair in two braids, plaited with lengths of red ribbon like a bride's. He did not know why. He had commented on them before leaving Cheyenne, just mentioned them, and she nearly took his head off.
Elaine is the woman for you.
He looked down at Avienda in confusion. The challenging look was back in her blue-green eyes, but still layered atop stark dislike. She had been waiting outside the tent when he awoke that morning, and had not strayed more than 3 paces from him since. Clearly the Wise Ones had sent her to spy, and clearly he was not supposed to realize it. She was pretty, and he was assumed to be fool enough not to see beyond that. No doubt that was the real reason she wore skirts now, and carried no weapon beyond a small belt knife. Women seemed to think men were simple-minded. Come to think of it, none of the other Aiel had commented at her change of clothing, but even Ruark avoided looking at her for too long. Probably they knew why she was there, or had some inkling of the Wise One's plan, and did not want to speak of it.
Rudian.
He still did not know why she had gone. Ruark muttered about women's business, plainly reluctant to discuss it around her. Considering the way she clung to Rand's side, that meant not discussing it at all. The clan chief was certainly listening now, and Hyern, and every Jindo in earshot. It was hard to tell with Aiel sometimes, but he thought they looked amused. Matt was whistling softly, ostentatiously looking at anything but the two of them. Even so, this was the first time all day she had spoken to him.
"What do you mean?" he asked.
Her bulky skirts did not hinder her, walking along beside Jaden. No, not walking, stalking. If she were a cat, she would be lashing her tail.
Elaine is a wetlander, your own kind.
She tossed her head arrogantly. The short tail that Aiel warriors wore at the nape of the neck was missing. The folded scarf around her temples nearly enveloped her hair.
Exactly the woman for you. Is she not beautiful? Her back is straight, her limbs supple and strong, her lips like plump love apples. Her hair is spun gold, her eyes blue sapphires. Her skin is smoother than the finest silk, her bosom fine and well-rounded. Her hips are...
He cut her off frantically, his cheeks heating.
I know she's pretty.
What are you doing?
I am describing her.
Avienda frowned up at him.
Have you seen her in her bath? There is no need for me to describe her if you have seen...
I have not seen... He wished he did not sound strangled. Ruark and the others were listening, faces too blank for anything but amusement. Matt rolled his eyes with an open, roguish grin. The woman only shrugged and rearranged her shawl.
She should have arranged it. But I have seen her, and I will act as her near sister.
The emphasis seemed to say his near sister might have done the same. Aiel customs were strange, but this was mad.
Her hips...
Stop that! She gave him a sideways glare.
She is the woman for you. Elaine has laid her heart at your feet for a bridal wreath. Do you think there was anyone in the Stone of Tyr who does not know?
I do not want to talk about Elaine, he told her firmly. Certainly not if she meant to go on as she had begun. The thought made his face go hot again. The woman did not seem to care what she said or who heard.
You do well to blush, putting her aside when she has bared her heart to you.
Avienda's voice was hard and contemptuous.
2 letters she wrote, bearing all, as if she had stripped herself beneath your mother's roof. You entice her into corners for kisses, then reject her. She meant every word of those letters, Randall Thor. Egwene told me so. She meant every word. What do you mean toward her, wetlander?
Rand scrubbed a hand through his hair and had to rearrange his shufa. Elaine meant every word, in both letters. That was flat impossible. One contradicted the other nearly point for point. Suddenly he gave a start. Egwene had told her? About Elaine's letters? Did women discuss these things among themselves? Did they plan out between them how best to confuse a man? He found himself missing Min. Min had never made him look a fool. Well, no more than once or twice. And she had never insulted him. Well, she had called him sheepherder a few times. But he felt comfortable around her, warm, in a strange way. She never made him feel a complete idiot like Elaine and Avienda. His silence seemed to irritate the Aiel woman more, if such was possible. Muttering to herself, striding along as though she wanted to trample something, she adjusted and readjusted her shawl half a dozen times. Finally, her grumbling faded away. Instead, she began staring at him, like a vulture. He could not see how she did not trip and fall on her face. "Why are you looking at me like that?" he demanded.
"I am listening, Randall Thor, since you wish me to be silent."
She smiled around gritted teeth.
"Do you not enjoy having me listen to you?"
He glanced beyond her at Matt, who shook his head.
There was just no understanding women.
Rand tried to set himself to considering what lay ahead, but it was difficult with the woman's eyes on him. Pretty eyes, if they had not been full of spite. But he did wish she would look at something else. Shading his eyes against the sun's glare, Matt did his best to avoid looking at Rand and the Aiel woman striding along between their horses. He could not understand why Rand put up with her. Avienda was pretty enough, to be sure. More than just pretty, especially now she wore a semblance of proper clothes. But with a viper for a tongue and a temper to make Nynaeve look meek. He was just glad Rand was stuck with her and not him. He pulled the kerchief from his head and wiped the sweat off of his face, then tied it back. The heat and the eternal sun in his eyes were beginning to get to him. Was there no such thing as shade in this whole land? Sweat stung his wounds. He had refused healing the night before, when Moraine wakened him, after he had finally gotten to sleep. A few cuts were a small price to avoid having the power used on you, and the Wise One's filthy-tasting tea had settled his headache. Well, after a fashion, anyway. What else ailed him, he did not think Moraine could do anything about, and he had no intention of telling her until he understood it himself. If then. He did not even want to think of it. Moraine and the Wise Ones were watching him. Watching Rand, actually, he supposed, but it felt the same. Surprisingly, the sun-haired one, Malayne, had climbed up on Aldeeb behind the Aes Sedai, riding awkwardly and holding Moraine around the waist as they talked. He had not known Aiel would ride at all. A very pretty woman, Malayne, with those fiery green eyes. Except, of course, that she could channel. A man would have to be an utter fool to tangle himself with one of those. Shifting in Pips's saddle, he reminded himself that it did not matter to him what Aiel did. "I've been to Ruidian. I've done what those snake folk said I had to." And what did he have to show for it? This bloody spear, a silver medallion, and... "I could go now. If I have any sense, I will." He could go. Try to find his own way out of the waste before he died of thirst or sunstroke. He could, if Rand was not still pulling at him, holding him. The easiest manner of finding out was just to try leaving. Looking at the bleak landscape, he grimaced. A wind picked up. It felt as if it blew across an overheated cook stove, and small whirlwinds spun funnels off yellow dust across the cracked ground. Heat haze made the distant mountains shimmer. Maybe it was best to stay around a while longer. One of the maidens who had been scouting ahead came trotting back and fell in beside Ruark, speaking for his ear alone. She flashed Matt a grin when she was done, and he busied himself picking a sharp burr out of Pips's mane. He remembered her all too well, a red-haired woman named Orinda, about Egwene's age. Dorinda was one of those who had talked him into trying Maiden's Kiss. She had collected the first forfeit. It was not that he did not want to meet her eyes, certainly not that he could not. Keeping your horse free of burrs and the like was important.
Peddlers, Ruark announced when Dorinda sprinted off the way she had come. Peddlers' wagons, heading in this direction.
He did not sound pleased. Matt brightened considerably, though. A peddler might be just the thing. If the fellow knew the way in, he knew the way out. He wondered if Rand suspected what he was thinking. The man had gone as blank-faced as any of the Aiel. The Aiel picked up their pace a little. Culloden's people imitated the Jindo and the Wise One's party with hardly a hesitation. Their own scouts had probably brought word, too. A quick enough step that the horses had to maintain a brisk walk. The sun did not bother the Aiel at all, not even the Gaishain in their white robes. They flowed over the broken ground. Less than 2 miles brought the wagons in sight, a dozen and a half of them strung out in a line. All showed the wear of hard travel, with spare wheels lashed everywhere. Despite a coat of yellow dust, the first two looked like white-painted boxes on wheels, or little houses, complete with wooden steps at the back and a metal stove chimney sticking through the roof. The last three, drawn by 20 mule hitches, appeared no more than huge barrels, also white, doubtless full of water. Those in between could have done for peddlers' wagons in the two rivers, with high, stout-spoked wheels and clanking clusters of pots and things in big net bags, tied all along the tall, round canvas covers. The wagon drivers drew rein as soon as they spotted the Aiel, waiting for the columns to come to them. A heavy man, in a pale gray coat and dark, wide-brimmed hat, climbed down from the back of the lead wagon and stood watching, now and then taking off his flat-crowned hat to wipe his forehead with a large white handkerchief. If he was nervous, looking at maybe 1,500 Aiel sweeping toward him, Matt could not blame him. The strange thing was the expression on the Aiel nearest Matt. Ruark, trotting ahead of Rand's horse, looked grim, and Hyrn wore a face that could break rocks. "I don't understand," Matt said. "You look like you're going to kill somebody." That would certainly put paid to his hopes. "I thought there were 3 kinds of people you Aiel let come out here in the waste. Peddlers, gleemen, and the traveling people."
"Peddlers and gleemen are welcome," Hyrn replied curtly.
If this was a welcome, Matt did not want to see Aiel being unwelcoming.
"What about the traveling people?" he asked curiously.
When Hyrn kept silent, he added,
"Tinkers? The Tuathuan?"
The Sept chief's face grew even harder before he turned his eyes back to the wagons. Avienda shot Matt a look as if he were a fool. Rand drew Jiaden close to Pips.
"I'd not mention tinkers to the Aiel if I were you," he said in a low voice. "They are a touchy subject."
"If you say so."
Why would tinkers be a touchy subject?
"Looks to me like they're being touchy enough about this peddler."
"Peddler? I can remember merchants who came to Emmons Field with fewer wagons."
"He came into the waste," Rand chuckled. Jiaden tossed his head and danced a few steps. "I wonder if he will leave it again."
Rand's twisted grin did not reach his eyes. Sometimes Matt almost wished Rand would decide whether he was mad or not and get it over with. Almost. 300 paces short of the wagons, Ruark signaled a halt, and he and Hyrn went on alone. At least, that seemed to have been his intention, but Rand heeled his dapple stallion after them, and the inevitable bodyguard of 100 Jindo followed. And Avienda, of course, keeping close as though tied to Rand's horse. Matt rode right with them. If Ruark sent this fellow packing, he did not mean to miss his chance to go along. Culloden came trotting out from the Shido, alone. Perhaps he meant to do as Ruark and Hyrn had intended, but Matt suspected the man was pointing out that he went alone, where Rand needed 100 guards. At first it seemed Moraine was coming too, but words passed between the wise ones and her, and they all stayed where they were. Watching, though. The Aes Sedai dismounted, playing with something small that sparkled, and Egwene and the wise ones clustered around her. Despite his face mopping, the big gray-coated fellow did not appear uneasy up close, although he jumped when maidens suddenly rose out of the ground encircling his wagons. The wagon drivers, hard-faced men, with more than enough scars and broken noses to go around, looked ready to crawl under their seats. They were tough alley dogs compared to Aiel wolves. The peddler recovered right away. He was not fat for all his size. That heaviness was muscle. Rand and Matt on their horses earned his curious glances, but he singled out Ruark at once. His hooked beak of a nose and dark, tilted eyes gave his square, swarthy face a predatory look not lessened when he put on a wide smile and swept his broad-brimmed hat off in a bow.
"I am Hadnan Kadia," he said. "Peddler, I seek Cold Rock's hold, good sirs, but I will trade with one and all. I have many fine—"
Ruark cut him off like an icy knife.
"You head well away from Cold Rock's or any hold. How is it you have come this far from the Dragon Wall without acquiring a guide?" "I do not really know, good sir."
Kadir did not lose his smile, but the corners of his mouth tightened a trifle.
"I have traveled openly. This is my first visit to the Threefold Land so far south. I thought perhaps here there are no guides."
Culloden snorted loudly, twirled one of his spears lazily. Kadir hunched his shoulders as if he felt steel sliding into his thick body already.
"There are always guides," Ruark said coldly. "You have luck to have come so far without one. Luck that you are not dead or walking back to the Dragon Wall in your skin."
Kadir flashed an uneasy, toothy smile, and the clan chief went on.
"Luck to meet us. Had you continued this way another day or two, you would have reached Ruidian."
The peddler's face went gray.
"I have heard—"
He stopped to swallow.
"I did not know, good sirs. You must believe. I would not do such a thing deliberately. Nor by accident,"
he added hastily.
"The light illumined my words for truth, good sirs. I would not."
"That is well," Ruark told him. "The penalties are severe. You may travel with me to Cold Rocks. It would not do for you to become lost again. The Threefold Land can be a dangerous place for those who do not know it."
Culloden's head came up defiantly. "Why not with me?" he said in a sharp voice. "The Shido are the more numerous here, Ruark. By custom, he travels with me."
"Have you become a clan chief when I did not see?"
The fire-haired Shido flushed, but Ruark showed no hint of satisfaction, only went on in that level voice.
"The peddler seeks Cold Rocks. He will journey with me. The Shido with you may trade with him as we travel. The Tardad are not so starved for peddlers that we try to keep them to ourselves."
Culloden's face went even darker, yet he moderated his tone, even if it did creak with the effort.
"I will camp near Cold Rocks, Ruark. He who comes with the dawn concerns all Aiel, not only the Tardat. The Shido will have their proper place. The Shido, too, will follow he who comes with the dawn."
He had not, Matt realized, acknowledged that that was Rand. Peering at the wagons, Rand did not seem to be listening. Ruark was silent a moment.
"The Shido will be welcome guests in the lands of the Tardad, if they come to follow he who comes with the dawn."
And that could be taken two ways as well. Kadir had been mopping his face all this time, likely seeing himself in the middle of a battle between Aiel. He punctuated Ruark's invitation with a heavy sigh of relief.
"Thank you, good sirs, thank you.
probably for not killing him.
Perhaps you would care to see what my wagons have to offer? Some special thing you might like?
Later, Ruark said. We will stop at Imre Stand for the night, and you may show your wares then. Gulladin was already striding away, having heard the name of Imre Stand, whatever that was. Kadir started to put his hat back on.
A hat,
Matt said, reining Pips closer to the peddler. If he had to remain in the waste a bit longer, at least he could keep that bloody sun out of his eyes.
I'll give a gold mark for a hat like that.
Done,
called a woman's huskily melodious voice. Matt looked around and gave a start. The only woman in sight, beside Avienda and the maidens, was walking up from the second wagon. But she certainly did not match that voice, one of the loveliest he had ever heard. Rand frowned at her and shook his head, and he had cause. A foot shorter than Kadir, she must have weighed as much or more. Rolls of fat nearly hid her dark eyes, disguising whether they were tilted or not, but her nose was a hatchet that dwarfed the peddler's. In a dress of pale cream silk stretched tight around her bulk, with a white lace shawl held above her head and elaborate ivory combs thrust into long, coarse black hair, she moved with incongruous lightness, almost like one of the maidens.
A good offer, she said in those musical tones.
I am Kali Shaogi, peddler.
She snatched the hat away from Kadir and thrust it up at Matt.
Stout, good sir, and nearly new. You will need its like to survive the threefold land. Here a man can die.
Fat fingers made a whip crack.
Like so.
Her sudden laugh had the same throaty caressing quality as her voice.
Or a woman. A gold mark, you said?
When he hesitated, her half-buried eyes glittered raven black.
I seldom offer any man a bargain twice.
A peculiar woman, to say the least. Kadir made no protest beyond the slightest grimace. If Kali was his partner, there was no doubt who was the senior. And if the hat kept Matt's head from broiling, it really was worth the price so far as he was concerned. She bit the tyrant mark he handed her before releasing the hat. For a wonder, it fit. And if it was no cooler under the wide brim, at least it was blessedly shady. The kerchief went into his coat pocket.
Anything for the rest of you?
The stout woman ran her eye over the Aiel, murmuring.
What a pretty child, to Avienda, with a baring of teeth that might have been a smile.
To Ran, she said sweetly,
And you, good sir?
That voice coming out of that face was truly jarring, especially when it took on this honeyed tone.
Something to shelter you from this desperate land?
Turning Jaden, so he could peer at the wagon drivers, Rand only shook his head. With that shufa around his face, he really did look like an Aiel.
Tonight, Kali, Kadir said. We open trade tonight at a place called Imre Stand.
Do we now?
For a long moment she peered at the Shido column, and at the Wise One's party for a longer. Abruptly, she turned for her own wagon, saying over her shoulder to the other peddler,
Then why are you keeping these good sirs standing here?
Move, Kadir, move!
Rand stared after her, shaking his head again. There was a gleeman back by her wagon. Matt blinked, thinking the heat had gotten to him. But the fellow did not vanish, a dark-haired man in his middle years wearing a patch-covered cloak. He watched the gathering apprehensively until Kylie shoved him up the wagon's step ahead of her. Kadir looked at her white wagon, with less expression than one of the Aiel, before stalking off to his own. Truly an odd lot.
Did you see the gleeman?
Matt asked Rand, who nodded vaguely, eyeing the line of wagons as if he had never seen a wagon before. Ruark and Hyern were already on their way back to the rest of the Jindo. The hundred surrounding Rand waited patiently, dividing their gaze between him and anything that might hide even a mouse. The drivers began gathering their reins, but Rand did not move.
Strange people, these peddlers, wouldn't you say, Rand? But I suppose you have to be strange to come to the waste. Look at us.
That brought a grimace from Avienda, but Rand seemed not to have heard. Matt wanted him to say something, anything. This silence was unnerving.
Would you have thought escorting a peddler would be such an honor Rourke and Culloden would argue over it? Do you understand any of this, Giotto?
You are a fool, Avienda muttered. It had nothing to do with Giotto.
Culloden tries to behave as a clan chief. Rourke cannot allow that unless he has gone to Rudion.
The Shido would steal bones from a dog. They would steal the bones and the dog. Yet even they deserve a true chief. And because of Randall Thor, we must allow 1,000 of them to pitch their tents in our lands.
His eyes, Rand said, without looking away from the wagons. A dangerous man. Matt frowned at him.
Whose eyes? Culloden's?
Kadir's eyes. All that sweating, going white in the face. Yet his eyes never changed. You always have to watch the eyes. Not what he seems.
Sure, Rand.
Matt shifted in his saddle, half lifted his reins as if to ride on. Maybe silence had not been so bad.
You have to watch the eyes.
Rand changed his study to the tops of the nearest spires and buttes, twisting his head this way and that.
Time is the risk, he murmured. Time sets snares. I have to avoid theirs while setting mine.
There was nothing up there that Matt could make out beyond an occasional scattering of brush and now and then a stunted tree. Avienda frowned at the heights, then at Rand, adjusting her shawl.
Snares? Matt said.
Light. Let him give me an answer that isn't crazy.
Who's setting snares?
For a moment, Rand looked at him as if he did not understand the question. The peddler's wagons were starting off with an escort of maidens loping alongside, turning to follow the Jindo as they trotted past, mirrored by the Shido. More maidens sped ahead to scout. Only the Aiel around Rand stood still, though the Wise One's party dawdled and watched, and from Egwene's gestures, Matt thought she wanted to come check on them.
You can't see it or feel it, Rand said finally.
Leaning a little toward Matt, he whispered loudly, as though pretending.
We ride with evil now, Matt. Watch yourself.
He wore that twisted grin again as he watched the wagons lumber by.
You think this Kadir is evil?
A dangerous man, Matt. The eyes always give it away. Yet who can say?
But what cause have I to worry with Moraine and the Wise Ones watching out for me? And we mustn't forget Lanfear. Has any man ever been under so many watchful eyes?
Abruptly, Rand straightened in his saddle.
It has begun, he said quietly.
Wish that I have your luck, Matt.
It has begun, and there is no turning back now, however the blade falls.
Nodding to himself, he started his dapple after Ruark, Avienda trotting alongside, the 100 Jindo following. Matt was glad enough to follow, too. Better than being left there, certainly. The sun burned high in a stark blue sky. There was a lot of traveling yet to be done before sunset.
It had begun?
What did he mean, it had begun? It had begun in Roydion, or better, in Emmons Field on winter night a year gone.
Riding with evil and no turning back? And Lanfear?
Rand was walking the razor's edge now. No doubt about it. There had to be a way out of the waste before it was too late. From time to time, Matt studied the peddler's wagons. Before it was too late. If it was not already.